How many of you are hungry for the Lord? How many of you are hungry for the Word of God? It's the Word of God that transforms our lives, our minds, our thinking, that builds us a foundation for living. Man does not live by every piece of morsel or bread from man, but by every word that what? Proceeds from the mouth of God. Hunger to eat that word is absolutely crucial. God can set a table before us Sunday by Sunday, day by day, week by week. But if we're not hungry to eat of that word, it won't do us any good. You all know you've purchased things from the store that looked like they were going to be really great, and you've brought them home, put them in the refrigerator or put them in the cupboard, and then forgot about them or just didn't feel like eating them. You weren't hungry for it, and it what? Molded. It died in the refrigerator, died on the shelf. God's word doesn't do any good unless it is received, chewed, meditated upon, and applied to our lives. Received, chewed, meditated on, and applied to our lives. Then the word of God does us good. Then it builds a strong foundation. Then it shows us the way to live. But to just have a multitude number of Bibles sitting on the shelf that aren't applied, that aren't opened, that aren't looked at or meditated upon, won't change a life. How many of you are hungry to have your life be changed? By the Word of God. By Jesus. I've asked you three questions. As we start this series, I'll ask you again. What kind of Christian do you want to be? What kind of Christianity do you want to live? What kind of church do you want to have? As for me and my house, we will what? Serve the Lord. Personal hunger is the key to taking, building your faith. Hunger for the Lord. Hunger for His Word. The whole purpose of what we're doing is to empower and to train and to teach and to release you in ministry, to train you in the Word of God, to release you in ministry. Let's go to Matthew chapter 9, verses 37 and 38. We're not on the notes yet. You can take notes in the margins if you want, but Matthew 9, 37 and 38. Then He said to His disciples, "The harvest truly is plentiful, but the what? Laborers are few." The harvest is plentiful, but those who are willing to get in, roll up their sleeves, go to work, apply the Word of God, and go to work with people, those are few. Therefore, verse 38, Matthew chapter 9, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into His harvest. Solid foundations, empowering, equipping, giving you the strength and the tools you need in your own life that then enable and equip you to go out and minister. That's what God's looking for. People on whom He can build the church of Jesus Christ. We've been talking over and over again about bringing His kingdom on earth as it is where? Bringing His kingdom where? As it is in heaven. God wants us to be ready to give an answer, to be ready in the light of disasters and wars and tsunamis and fears. Are you ready to give an answer for the hope that is within you? As we embark on this class, even though you may have had some of these teachings before, if you will apply yourself to the Word of God with hunger, it will change your life and make you stronger in your foundations and make you better equipped as ministers to reach out and be laborers in the harvest. Is that what you want in your life? I believe God's getting us ready for something new and something fresh. Something that God wants this church to do. And He wants to equip people to enable them to do that purpose. And if we're not equipped, we're not enabled, we won't be able to accomplish the purpose of God. We've got to do what God wants us to do and equip ourselves to be there. Let's go to the notes. At Door of Grace Ministries, we want you to know and daily experience the Lord Jesus Christ in a living, personal, intimate way. Now, we're going to talk a little bit later, after Pastor Sherry is done, about some of the particular mechanics of the class. We'll talk about it here in a few minutes as well. But it's all about knowing, daily experiencing Jesus Christ in a living, personal, intimate way. Is that what you want? Building your faith gives you an introductory understanding of the fundamental teaching of Christianity. We'll take time on that. We believe Christianity is a faith not just to know about, not just to profess. It's not good enough to say, I gave my life to the Lord 40 years ago, 10 years ago, 2 years ago. It's only important to know that you have given your life to the Lord that long ago, and day by day you continue in a fresh surrender, a fresh walk with the Lord, a fresh application of that word. Because I don't want to get brittle, I want to be tender and moldable in the hands of the Lord. Does anybody in this room want to be brittle before God? Brittle legalism, was that satisfy you? Tender, pliable, flexible, moldable, able to be adjusted by the Lord. That's the vessel that's going to be able to be used. Tragically, many professed Christians don't know what they believe or many times in whom they have believed. So often, you know, you can say to people, what is it you believe? And the old stumbling around answer goes like, well, I believe what my church teaches. They say, well, what's your church teach? Well, my church teaches what the Bible teaches. Well, what's the Bible teach? I don't know. Get off my back. You need to know. What does the Bible teach about Christianity? At Door of Grace, we want you to know and experience Jesus, living, personal, intimately. Again, if you've been a Christian for some time, building your faith may be an excellent review. Maybe it'll give you brand new understanding. I think it will indeed in some areas. But possibly also, there's another group of people who want to simply know, what is it we believe here? And so there is a unity of speaking the same heart, having the same mind, the same judgment. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 10 says this, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul literally begs the Corinthian church to have the unity that John prayed for in the church in John 17. It's a crucial foundation and impact in the body of Christ to have that kind of unity. Foundations. The foundation of our faith is the essential base of doctrine and the experience upon which all the rest of Christianity is built. The foundation. Number two, the foundation stones are the essential basics of Christianity. So we've got an essential base of doctrine. We've got the essential basics of Christianity. Hebrews chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2 tells us by Paul, therefore, leaving the discussion of the elementary principles of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptism, the laying on of hands, resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Hebrews 6, verses 1 and 2. He says those are essential foundations, foundation stones, the foundation of the faith. But we've got to get those things solidly laid in our life so we can go on. Do you all understand everything there is to know about all of those? The whole purpose is to put these solidly in our life to help us go on. Number three, God's building our Christian life must be solidly built on a foundation that will withstand every storm and endure the testing of fire. So there's got to be something that is solidly built on a foundation. If the foundation's weak, the whole structure will be destroyed. We talked all about this last week. Build on the rock, or build on the sand. And when you build on the sand, the ruin of the house is great. When the winds, the storm, the floods come, that house falls. But when you build solidly on the rock, on the foundation, on Jesus himself, you can endure the testing of fire. Number four, the wise build a solid foundation in Jesus Christ. The wise are those who hear and what? Say it with me. Do. Yeah, hear and obey, or hear and do. Matthew 7, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them is a wise man who built his house on a rock. The foolish hear, but do not obey. Life on shifting sand. On Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is shifting sand. God will not, number five, permit us to grow and mature in Christianity if we do not build a solid foundation. God's permit. The Holy Spirit is God's building inspector. He's got to approve our spiritual base, our spiritual foundation. Those of you in engineering, and those of you who've ever built a home, you understand you've got to get building permits. You understand, no matter how frustrating it is, the county officials or whoever they may be come out, check that structure out, so they can give you permission to go on and do the next phase. God does the same thing in our lives. He looks at our lives and says, I'm sorry, there's no permission here yet for you to grow further or to be involved in all the other things you want to do, because I got to get you strong and solid first. He's a building permitter, the Holy Spirit is. And he wants us to be able to go on and to grow, but he's got to put that building permit on our lives. Number six, there can be no shortcuts taken. No shortcuts taken. In the Old Testament, King Solomon built the temple. And when he built the temple, they hewn rock from a quarry outside of where the building was taking place. So they spent their time hewing and hewing and working and fashioning these great massive stones. If you've ever seen the pictures or been there, you know how huge these stones are. But they were all prepared. And when it came time for them to be fit into the temple, there wasn't the sound of the hammering and the chiseling that took place. They went into their position to fulfill their function. You know, that's the way God's doing with us, isn't it? He chisels on us, hammers us out, builds us, chips away a little bit of hard-edged here. We rub things off of one another. We sometimes wonder why there's friction. God's just rubbing off the rough edges. And he's hewing us, and he's making us ready to go into that purpose in the house and in the temple of God. So we won't take shortcuts. Well, fine. I gave my life to the Lord, and I got baptized an hour later, and now I'm up on the platform preaching 2 days later. That's what we do to entertainers who get saved, you know, in the body of Christ. Stick them out in front of everybody before they even get foundations. We wonder why they fall away a little bit later. That's not the way it's to be. It takes time. It takes time to lay foundations. If you don't want anything to do with teaching, if you don't want this kind of foundation laying, then God's not going to give you the permission to go on to do what he wants you to do and be able to be what he wants you to be. If you've been frustrated in your growth, maybe it's because God is saying it's time to revisit the foundations. Work out your own salvation. Building your faith is careful teaching so each lesson can be assimilated and understood. Careful teaching so each lesson can be assimilated and understood. If you've had no Bible teaching, this will give you some great stuff. If you've had some Bible teaching, this will help you refresh them. If you've wondered what we believe here, building your faith is an expanded statement of faith, if you will, on what we believe in the essential foundations. Mechanics and materials, what will we be doing? You are going to get materials from this class. We will prepare notes for you week by week. But let me just say something. It's kind of an interesting aside. For those of you that want to take this class and sign up and enroll in this class, we're going to give you a notebook. And by the end of this, you're going to end up with a notebook full of life and materials at the end of this class with scriptures and references that you can have at your fingertips. We want every person to get one, not just one for a family, but every person to have their own. If you don't want to do the class, that's up to you. But if you want to do the class and you want to be involved in ministry here, you want to know those foundations, we want you to end up with this material in a notebook so you can have it to be able to refer back to. And we'll have you do response and truth sheets at the end of each class. I'll walk through that with you and what that is all about. You are welcome to disagree with us as long as you disagree agreeably, so we keep a good spirit. But we're looking for, if people are saying to me, Pastor Kevin, I want to be involved in ministry. We need to know, therefore, those who labor among us. That's what the Bible says. So we teach and then we know, do you understand, do you agree with, do you have questions, etc. So we'll be doing a response to truth sheet afterwards on these classes as well. But they're great summaries of the teaching. And by the end, you will end up with a notebook full of materials that you can use. And we're going to do a banquet at the end of this come May. We're going to have a banquet and we'll have a graduation ceremony. We're going to have a great time together in this class. and this series of classes. So we're going to have a lot of fun, and we're going to go through these together, and we're going to grow. How many want to grow, to learn, to grow, to keep going in God? Come on, let me hear you say.
Amen.
Amen. Now what I've got is a privilege for you, because we began and end these series with a personal relationship with Jesus, because it's all about knowing Jesus in a living, personal, and intimate way. So we begin and we end building your faith that way. And we began and we finished this series with the privilege of hearing Pastor Sherry as she comes and talks to us about spiritual hearing. Let's welcome Pastor Sherry. One of the things that I want to say before she gets started is you can pay a lot of money to go to courses. In fact, people do. They do it right here in this town. You'll pay big money, hundreds and hundreds of dollars. So you can end up with a bit of a notebook to go down and to take a few notes, learn about the Old Testament or whatever. But you know, the privilege that we have as a congregation is this is the kind of teaching that you get right here in your home church, your local church. That's where the food is to be put on the table. So we urge you to really apply yourself as we go through these classes, learn and grow and enjoy. Yes.
Okay, in your notes following along under spiritual hearing, we are committed to your learning the foundational doctrines, as well as experiencing an intimate relationship with Jesus. The Living Bible says, Psalm 73:28, but as for me, I get as close to him as I can. That was David's heart cry. That's my heart cry. The Message Bible says, but I'm in the very presence of God. Oh, how refreshing it is. Amen. Spiritual notebooks are one of the finest tools to be able to pour out your heart to Jesus and to record what you believe he is saying to you. What do we need for this? People have told me in the body of Christ, why was this teaching ever even developed? Because I went to conferences, I heard speakers, I listened to pastors, I listened to apostles, I listened to evangelists, I listened to teachers, and they all told me I needed to get close to Jesus. None of them told me what to do. I needed something practical. What do we do? We had hundreds, over 30 years, hundreds of college students come through WSU and come to our church. And the thing that I wanted for them was the most was that they have a personal relationship. What could we do with these kids? We only have them for 4 years. What can we do with them to get them into a personal relationship with Jesus Christ? So they knew, they knew him, and they got a love for this book. And sometimes you have to go step by step. And I found out that, well, I was teaching college kids. That was great. They were ready. They were hungry, and they understood. And then I realized that out in the body of Christ, it's the adults in the churches too. We need a help. We need a guide. How are we going to do this? We need a cheerleader. We need somebody cheering us on. And so what we want to do is develop you in a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ where we cheer you on, where you cheer each other on, and as new people come into Door of Grace, you become the cheerleaders that take their hands and teach them how to really get into personal, intimate relationship with Jesus. So what do you need? A special place. Maybe you need to set up a special place in your house where you have quiet time. Or maybe if it's not in your house, it's out in the barn. How many of us have barns? You know, you go someplace on your property where you can sit and you can read and you can really think about Jesus. But a special place. What do you need? You need to bring yourself there. Have you ever read and been empty-headed and not been there, huh? Yeah, right. So you need to really bring yourself. I'm bringing myself to this place. You need a Bible. You need a journal or a notebook or pieces of paper. This year has been really strange for me. I looked for this book. I had it. It was brand new. Pat gave it to me last year. She gave me two of them. When you gave them to me, gave me two. And so I used one last year, and I wanted to use this year. I couldn't find it anyplace. So I've written on little pieces of paper, all my little spiritual notebook things on just scratches of paper like this. I'm going to have to paste them in it. Anyway, something where you can record your thoughts. A four-color pen. A four-color pen is really useful in journaling. I use blue when I pour out my heart to Jesus. My thoughts are in blue. I use red when I go ahead and write down what I believe Jesus is saying to me. It means I take time to listen to him when I'm writing in red. I'm listening to him. Green for any commands that he gives me, things that he wants me to do from my reading. Black for any words that I want to research in a dictionary or in Strong's. Then I have a yellow highlighter, and it's coming to the point where I don't know if it's age or what, but I can hardly read without a highlighter anymore. I have to highlight everything, because otherwise it just all flows together for me. But when I highlight, then I can come back to those highlighted portions and think on those things. Number seven, and I think this is one of the most important ones, a strong determination to wrestle with your own indifference. A strong determination to wrestle with your own indifference. Other things can be more interesting than reading the Word of God. A magazine can be more interesting. For me, house magazines right now can be more interesting as I'm planning my house, or hobby magazines or car magazines. yeah, right. Or things on Navy boats. Anything, but we need to take time, because when we start to go into the Word many times, we think, oh, I just have to do this. It's as you get started reading that you see, oh, wow, there really was something here for me today. Eight, an active imagination that is yielded to the Spirit of God. Nine, eyes of faith and ears for hearing. 10, a heart that is yielded to the Holy Spirit. Spiritual life, or my time with Jesus. First, you need to get yourself ready to read. You need to come boldly into his presence. Now I'm going to have a few people hand these out. I didn't put these in your big notes because I want you to be able to just fold these up and put them in your Bibles, so they don't stay with your notes, but you keep them in your Bibles so you can get them out and refer to them while you do your daily reading. But the main thing is coming boldly into his presence and expecting Jesus to speak to you. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." The Message says, "Oh, let's walk right up to him and get what he's so ready to give. Take the mercy and accept the help." And Hebrews 11:6 says, "But without faith it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him." From the Message it says it's impossible to please God apart from the faith. And why? Because anyone who wants to approach God must believe both that he exists and that he cares enough to respond to those who seek him. So first I said, get ready. Second, I said, take off those dirty rags. Take the dirty rags off. The first thing to do before you read or communicate with Jesus is to confess your own sin to him. We do this so we don't have to read with self-condemnation, as he's made provision for us to be squeaky clean. Let's do it. Psalm 66:18, King James says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." If I'm thinking about my sin and I'm trying to talk to God, it says that he won't hear me. So I need to forget it. get it off my back and go on with him. The message said, if I'd been cozy with evil, the Lord would have never listened. But remember, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from how much? All unrighteousness. The sign for all in sign language is like you're taking a great big bowl and you're wiping the whole thing out. You're wiping out the bowl. So he cleanses us from how much righteousness? Unrighteousness, all unrighteousness. If we confess what we know, he forgives us for all sin we've committed. Woo! I love that, because we might forget. But the Bible says that he's going to cleanse us from all of it. The message says, on the other hand, if we admit our sins, make a clean breast of them, he won't let us down. That kind of waters it down a little bit, but I like the first part of it where it says, on the other hand, if we admit our sins. I like that. We need to admit. We need to agree with God about what he calls sin and us calling it sin. Okay, then we need to put on the new garments that he gives us. Then it's essential to take time after we confess our sins. It's essential to take time to receive his forgiveness and be thankful for his cleansing. After this, then it's good to have a positive confession about who you are in Christ. In other words, to keep thinking of yourself as a sinner after you confess your sins is self-defeating. We need to think of us as God thinks of us. We're clean. We're righteous. We're washed. We're white as snow. There is no sin. We are indeed made new in Christ Jesus. Confess that we belong to him and that his thoughts are good toward you. Psalm 139, 17 and 18 says, how precious it is, Lord, to realize that you are thinking about me constantly. I can't even count how many times a day your thoughts turn toward me. And when I wake in the morning, you are still thinking of me. I love it. It says we are made new in Christ. He's thinking about us and he's thinking good things about us. How many of you need to concentrate on that once in a while? That Jesus is thinking good things about you. Megan, put your hand up. And Jesus is thinking good thoughts about you, not bad thoughts about you. He's thinking good things about you. Okay, I'm going to have you open your Bibles now to Matthew 11, 7 through 30, and Psalm 14, 1 through 7. This is the reading for today, if you're reading with us in the through the Bible in your Bible. Is there anybody who doesn't, that needs a Bible? We all got Bibles to look on. Okay, I'm going to just stop, and I'm going to let you read those scriptures. And after you're done reading them, would you then look up at me or set your clipboards up like this so I can tell when you're done? The verse, Psalm 14, 1 through 7, and Matthew 11, 7 through 30. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Put some little marks in there. If anything jumps out at you as you read this, just put a little mark by it. And I'll give you time to do that. Yeah, great. We can do that all the time. Just come for our daily reading. And, you know, everybody does it at the same time. Some of you had already read it because you went really fast, I saw this morning. But anyway, why I wanted you to read it is so now we can think of some of these things together. What would we write down in a journal? What would we write down in notes? What questions would we ask ourselves as we read through the Word? How can we hide the Word in our heart so we don't sin against Him? How can we take the Word in our daily routine reading? How can we then take that word and apply it to our lives so that we don't sin against him? One of the ways we can do it is by writing in journals, by drawing pictures. I can't draw very good pictures, but I love to make stick people. And so many times I will illustrate a fact by drawing a a stick person to Illustrator 2, or, you know, I know God looks like this, and whatever. But anyway, it really helps me to get it. What am I trying to do? Anything to simplify it, so I take it with me all day long. If I have to write it on a 3x5 card and carry it around with me, or take that picture and keep it with me, so then I can share with you when I see you, because God, if I daily eat from the Word, God will put someone in my path that needs that, not only myself, but someone else I can share truth with. The bottom line is, how can we make the Word of God come alive? So what do we write about when we do write? Well, do you see a promise that you can enjoy? As you read just now, was there any promise in there that you can enjoy? I picked Matthew 11:28. There's a promise in Matthew 11:28. Pastor Kev, will you read that?
Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest."
Amen. Is there a promise there? What is it? I'm weary. I can go to Jesus, and He promises to give me rest. So what would I write down in my journal? Jesus, I can trust you. I'm going to claim this for my precious promise today, that somehow today you're going to give me rest. Hallelujah. That's a promise. It might be Matthew 11:25. And Pastor Kev, would you read that one too?
Then Jesus prayed his prayer. O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, thank you for hiding the truth from those who think themselves so wise and clever, and for revealing it to the childlike.
That's a precious promise to me, because I don't always think like the wise and the clever, but I can be childlike. So for me, that might not be a precious promise to you, but for me, that was a precious promise. I don't have to have a degree in physics. I don't have to get an A in physics at the University of Washington to be able to know God. But I can be childlike and know how to add two and two, one and one. And Jesus will speak to me, and He's going to reveal His secrets and His truth to me. So that's a precious promise. Does anybody else want to share a precious promise that you saw as you were reading?
I don't know if it's really a promise.
Uh-huh.
Or 4:3-6.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. The evildoers never learn, those who devour my people as men eat bread and who do not call on the Lord. They are overwhelmed with dread, for God is present in the company of the righteous. You evildoers frustrate the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge.
Amen. I love it. I love it. He is. He is our refuge. So you took that as your precious promise. So sometimes I would write a P with two lines, one, two, and then go around like that, precious promise, and I write that right in my Bible. If you can't write in your Bible, come and see me. I will buy you a Bible that you can write in. Let's write in our Bibles. Let's make notes in our Bibles. Amen. Okay, another thing to think about as you're reading, do you see a command in the reading that Jesus wants you to obey? I saw one in Matthew 11:29. Pastor Kev, again, since you have the same translation.
Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I am humble and gentle, and you will find rest for your souls.
Okay, I see a command in that. If I want the result of that verse, I need to take his yoke upon me. So that's a command to me. So that would be something that I would probably write about in my notebook today as I'm saying, Lord, I want to be aware of, I want to take your yoke upon me, and I'm going to give myself to letting you teach me, because it says, let me teach you. Then I will get the benefits of the verse. So a command to me is to take his yoke and let him teach me. That means I have to sit still today. I have to be quiet. I have to listen to him. I have to look for his teaching in my life today. Let's go on. Does anybody else see a command that they want to share? Sue?
Well, sort of.
Okay.
I
11:15, that he says, "He that has ears, let him hear." And it's a command because it wants us to read his word so we can hear what he has to say to us.
That's right. That's excellent. That ties in with what we could go on for about a half an hour here, couldn't we? Just sharing on our two thoughts and having them build up. It's really true. We need to let him teach us, or we need to hear. We need to be willing to hear and listen to him. Amen. Okay, do you see a sin that Jesus wants you to avoid in the reading for today? I saw Psalm 14:3. But no, all have turned away. All have become corrupt. No one does good, not a single one. What is the sin? God doesn't want me to turn away from him. He doesn't want me to follow corruption in my life, but he does not want me to turn away, because if I do, then I won't do any good. I won't do any good at all in my life if I turn away from him. So the sin that he wants me to avoid is turning away. He doesn't want me to turn away. I saw it also in Matthew 11:20. Then Jesus began to denounce the towns where he had done so many of his miracles because they hadn't repented of their sins and turned to God. Again, both in the Psalm and Matthew. That's why I love how we're reading the Proverbs, the Psalm, Old Testament, New Testament. So both in the Psalm and in Matthew, it's talking about God is saying something to me today, something stirring in my heart, and he does not want me to turn away from him. He doesn't want me. He wants me to repent when I'm convicted and come right back under the shadow of his wings. So those are the things that he wants me to avoid, turning away from him. Anybody else see anything? Any sin? That's kind of personal, isn't it? Maybe we'll skip right over that. You might have seen something, but you might not want to share it with everyone. Okay. But as we read, we are convicted of sin in our life, and we need to heed God's word and then turn away from it. And he will protect us. He'll tell us early in the morning, if we'll give him time, the things that we're supposed to avoid that day. It's great. He does know how to instruct us. Do you see any lessons to be learned from what you have read? There's some lessons to be learned from what you've read, and that's a good question to ask yourself after you've read. Not just read the words and say, okay, I can check it off, I read the Bible today. But what lesson did you learn today? Did anybody see anything they'd like to share? Pastor Carl?
Well, I saw three things that I could share. First of all, in verse 14 of Matthew, he says, if you're willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. And the reality is, John the Baptist was Elijah to come.
Mm-hmm.
But the clause, if you are willing to receive it, has everything to do with where we are in faith.
Sure.
It's conditional for our acceptance.
Great.
If we're willing to receive the Bible,
mm-hmm.
it becomes life to us. But
great.
It's life whether we're willing to receive it or not. We just miss out
wow.
because we're not willing to receive it.
Great lesson.
There's a conditional there, but the conditional doesn't alter the fact. It only alters the application into our lives.
Wow. Excellent.
And then verse 28 through 30, he says, most especially, he says, I am gentle and lowly of heart, in heart. And I thought this was very, very interesting, because oftentimes as Christians, we have trouble with being strong and being humble, or being weak, being submissive and all this sort of thing. This is the same Jesus who earlier in the chapter is being very authoritative and condemning and speaking some really harsh words
yeah,
to these
did.
People and telling them, boy, you're in a heap of hurt here because you failed to recognize the miracles that were done in your midst, and therefore the judgment is going to come on. I mean, these are strong statements. And then he says, I'm weak and lowly of heart.
Mm.
And I think we should take heart in the fact that there's times when we need to stand strong and be declarative, because Jesus was
mm-hmm.
and declarative. But there's also times when we need to be weak and gentle and submissive. So I thought that was an interesting thing, that we should take comfort in the fact that it's not, well, this is the way I am, or that's the way I am. But if we're like Jesus, we can be both ways, mm-hmm. just in different times. And here it was not really a very different time. The other thing that I saw was in the verse 7 of Psalms 14. He says, when the Lord brings back the captivity of his people. And this brought back to me the whole sense of there's only two choices in life, darkness and light.
Mm-hmm.
All things of darkness, sin, flesh, the devil, are those things that take us away from God or being God-like. And we're either captive to sin, flesh, and the devil, or we're captive to Christ. But most of us, you know, we read the scripture, he who has set free is free indeed, and mm-hmm. so on, and all these verses about being free, and we think, da-da-da-da-da, gambling across the pasture, you know, like, now we're free. But there is no real opportunity anywhere in scripture to be separate from anything. You're either captive to darkness or you're captive to light.
Amen.
So when he sets you free, he sets you free from captivity to darkness and brings you back into his own captivity. When the Lord brings back the captivity of his people, meaning unto himself, then let Jacob, meaning the church or Israel, rejoice and Israel be glad. So when we're solidly back in his captivity, that's the time to celebrate.
Well, he read for, what did we read? For less than 10 minutes, and he just preached a whole sermon. Amen. Amen. This is what it does for us. Anybody else, what lesson did you learn? Judy.
This is kind of indirect in a way, where it says, Matthew 11:4. Says, Jesus answered them and said, go tell John the things which you hear and see. The blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, the poor have the gospel preached to them, and blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And I guess I see a double thing in there. I mean, I obviously it's showing that Jesus has supernatural power to heal. But it also indirectly says to me, he went to the blind and he went to the dead, spiritually dead too. And he went to the blind, spiritually blind. He went to those who were in need,
mm-hmm.
those who were hungry,
mm-hmm.
not those who were well fed and righteous.
Excellent.
So that's what I got out of that.
Very good. So the lesson you learned then is you can also do the same. Huh?
Exactly.
Amen.
I know this word, you know. I don't, you know, I've already learned all this stuff. I don't need this stuff. Then I'm probably not going to get anything.
Right.
But if I go to him with an attitude of, Lord, there's a lot more you can teach me.
Amen.
You know, there's stuff I need to know.
Amen.
Then you're open to being able to hear.
Amen.
What he has to say.
Excellent. We give time for one more. Is there anybody else who learned a lesson and wants to share?
Yeah. Okay. This is kind of what Judy, kind of on what Judy was saying, but it's Matthew, it's verse 18, where it says, where John came neither eating or drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom is proved right by her actions. Now, that's what I like, where it says wisdom is proved right by her actions, you know, that, well,
I can't talk with it.
But, like, you know, you wonder about by people's actions, the wisdom, if it's right, you know, or, does that make sense?
Yeah.
It does in my head. Yeah.
Okay. Right.
Sometimes I can't get the words out like they're in my head.
Amen. Nancy?
I'm wondering, you have to start with wineskins. Is that in the chapter?
No, not in this one.
Oh, okay. I have something to say.
hands up.
Okay, great. Marvelous. Marvelous. Well, this is what's so marvelous about Thursday night grace gatherings, is because at grace gatherings, you'll be able to share with one another the things that you're seeing as you read the Word. Okay, going on. Take time to be still and listen. After you read the Word, then take just a few moments to be still and listen. After you share with God the insights that you've seen, then just give Him opportunity to speak to you in quietness and in the stillness of your heart. This is your friend, your Lord, that you're communing with. Be a responder to Him. Enjoy His anointing and His presence. It's okay to listen to what He's saying with your own heart. You need to hear the things He's saying to you. That's when I write in red, because I like to go back to those red words and see what He said to me. Listen for, these are the things to listen for. Listen for His blessing, His instruction, His guidance, His answers, and most of all, and on your little sheets, I put three hearts in front of it, I think. Listen for His love. Lives change when we give ourselves to the Word. When we read to really hear and apply His Word to our lives. Pastor Kevin has given us a challenge as he continues to ask us to search our hearts about what I call the big three. What kind of Christian do I want to be? What kind of Christianity do I want to live? And what kind of church do I want to have? If you read and meditate on the Word daily, you will have the answer to Pastor Kev's big three. Not only that, but you will have made the angels sing. Do you think the angels aren't singing right in heaven right now because people got some revelation from the Word in this house this morning? Amen. And Jesus and the Father will clap their hands and high-five each other and probably even do a little jig. Do you know how excited it makes God feel when some of His people, there are so few on this earth who give a darn about this? Do you hear what I'm saying, folks? There are so few. Do you know every time you read and really apply yourself to this Word and you hug it and you love the Word and you take it in, do you know how happy you are making God? You're saying, I love what you wrote. I love what you wrote. Not only do I love it, but I'm going to let you bring it to pass in my life. You make me righteous. You make me clean. And now I'm going to take this Word. I'm going to love it, and I'm going to let it direct my life. Jesus, thank you. Father, thank you. My gosh, when we say that to Him, they are throwing a party in heaven. They really are, because there aren't many people who give a hoot. Amen.
You know how many churches have these little things on their signboards? Well, down in on the coast
near Warrenton, there was a one of the churches had one of those things, and it says, in fact, it says church where we got that song from that time. It said, a dusty Bible leads to a dirty life.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we're going to have clean Bibles because we handle them so much they can't get any dust on them at all, right? Amen. And clean lives and lives that desire to share one with another. That's what will bring life to this congregation. That's what makes Door of Grace different. Because we really do appreciate grace. That's why it's named Door of Grace. But more than just appreciating grace, we want to continue to grow. We want to be founded. And we want to share life and break life with each other daily. Whenever we come in contact with one another, let's talk about the Word. Let's say something about the Word. Let's edify one another. I pray that all of you will join with me and say this year, but as for me, I get as close to Him as I can. Amen. Pastor Kevin.
Let's say that together, that verse that she just quoted. But
as for me,
I get as close to Him as I possibly can.
Amen.
What we're going to do now is what we call response to truth sheets. And they are excellent summaries of what the message was about, but it's an opportunity now for you to say, I agree. And there are several points with a little check space next to them. If you agree, we're asking you to check them. If you disagree, leave it blank. You don't have it. You can quit looking for it. I'm talking to you about it. And so what we'll have you do is take a few minutes quietly, look this over, check it off, then sign it and date it at the bottom. And as we conclude this morning, this is the first lesson of building your faith. At the end, we will have you come up here, and if you want to sign up for the class and do these and get the notebooks, and what we'll have you do is bring to Pastor Sherry and I your response to truth sheet signed and dated and filled out, and then we're going to give you a notebook for you to be able to keep these materials in. It's a great notebook, and the graphics are fun as well as reinforcing of your foundation. That graphic of the top of that page was done specifically with Pastor Sherry and Pastor Sherry's daughter. Tammy Becker helped her with that. But it's all about the foundation of our faith. All right?